My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I am so excited to be with you today. Today, we are talking about three ways to cope when they no longer care. So this topic came up for me because right now on TikTok, I have a lot of people who are talking about a few videos that I've shared about not only love avoidance, but what happens when you go into no contact. So I did a video that was, how does the person feel when you are going into no contact? You know, I'm talking about whether or not they care or not, whether or not what you're doing affects them or not. And there are a lot of people who are having follow-up questions about that. And it just got me to thinking about the pain that happens when you really find out that even when you're pulling back emotionally, even when you are emotionally hurt, you're expressing what you need. Maybe you are actually in a period of no contact, not just that you are pulling back emotionally and no longer investing in initiating connection, but that you're actually not in contact. But when you find out or see that they don't care, how painful that is and how it's not as simple as just distracting yourself and the things that come up for you, the abandonment wounds, the rejection wounds, the thoughts of, did I even matter? Am I even important? Do I have value? You know, even if you have value in other places of your life and you feel very competent in other places of your life, when there are people that you love, whether or not it's a parent, a child, a lover, a partner, a friend that you really, really care for. And when you start to distance yourself from them, or distance may be needed, and they just act very indifferent or apathetic, or dismissive of the fact that you are no longer in their life, even if you know that might happen, how devastating it is for it to play out. Today's episode, I want to talk about three ways to cope when the other person doesn't care, whether or not you're there or not, whether or not you're happy or not, whether or not you're sad or not, but they're more focused on them and what they want. If that sounds interesting to you, let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So, like I said, this is for any situation where you are needing to pull back emotionally from this person. Now, of course, physically may also involve the emotional part, but really this is about someone that you have been very emotionally deeply connected to, and either finding out through where you currently are that they are not in the same place that they used to be before. So maybe y'all were mutually very close and very interconnected and very bonded. And then over time, you've drifted apart and it seems as if they are not caring as much. Maybe they are people who have been abusive and toxic to you. And so you've had to go into no contact and they are acting like it's just another Tuesday. It's just another Thursday afternoon. They really couldn't care less when you're there or not there, and how painful that is. Maybe you're someone who is in an intimate relationship or romantic relationship with someone, and you're not necessarily doing full no contact, but you're kind of doing this push and pull thing where, you know, you tell them, I'm not going to take this anymore. This really hurts me. I deserve better. And you're expecting them to come closer to you. You're expecting them to get their stuff together. You're expecting them to feel remorseful, feel regretful, to follow through with the therapy they say they're going to do, to actually come up with a plan that they said they were going to do or follow through with the plan that they told you that they were going to do. None of that is happening. And it's slowly starting to dawn on you that you have cared more than they have. And maybe you've been putting in a little bit more or a lot more emotional labor and effort than they have. And so not only sitting with the grief of that, you know, and just grieving and mourning all the time and energy you put into these people, into these relationships that aren't giving it back, but also kind of grieving the fantasy of what you hope to be. Sometimes the fantasy is not you creating this completely different entity, Sometimes the fantasy is that I imagine this relationship to be potentially very beautiful. I imagine me and my mom being able to talk and connect, you know, because we have really great conversations. Otherwise, I see how she talks to other people. But something about when we get together, there's still some type of competition. There's still some bitterness. There's still some anger. And I've been working really hard to try to get this interaction between us to change, and it's just not, right? So I'm grieving the fantasy of the mother-daughter relationship that I thought I could have with this partner. I thought, you know, I've listened to all the things that they've said to me over the years. I've seen what we've built together. I've seen the promises that we've made. I've seen how good we can connect and all these other ways, but they just aren't making the effort to take these next steps that we need for us to have a sustainable relationship. So now I'm mourning the dreams that I've built with us together. I'm mourning the vacations that we were going to take. I'm mourning how we were going to raise our children together, imaginary children or children that are actually here. And so now I have to grieve that, the best friendship that I had, right? And so the person that I would talk to and connect with all the time, that we got each other, we understood each other, even in times of conflict, there was just something that was just always synergetic. And we could always find our way back to each other. And now we're just having a hard time. And I thought it was just transitions in our life. I thought it was just life stages, but it seems like I'm giving and I'm trying to make this work and I'm trying to be available and she's just not. And now I have to grieve the future that I thought we were going to have. I thought we were going to be able to, you know, celebrate each other's 50th birthdays and, you know, watch our children grow together and all those other things. And that's not here. And so that's very painful. So these three tips are hopefully going to help you work through not only the grief of that, but also give you a place to channel a lot of those emotions so that they feel a little bit more productive, because feeling our feelings is important. You know, I've talked about on the podcast that the only way to work through your feelings is to go through them. Distracting ourselves, trying to replace one person with another, you know, there's still an injury that's there. There's still a wound. There's still a longing. There's still a lack of closure. Feeling our sadness and feeling the grief is important. But we can also use that energy and channel it towards other directions that actually make us feel like, in the situation where we feel like we don't have any power over what someone's going to do or say or think, where can we find our power? And I think this is especially important because I think a lot of times I frame the suggestions that I make here through the lens of this person isn't showing up for you. They're toxic and dysfunctional. You need to leave and find the love that's best for you. And I think ultimately that is probably going to be the best advice for a lot of people. But for some of us, either we're not sure this is actually a toxic or dysfunctional relationship. We're not sure if this is just temporary, if this is just a stage of life that we're in, and this is just a storm that I need to weather. We're not sure if this is actually dysfunctional or if this is really my stuff that I'm projecting on other people. I have a lot of clients where their first line of defense is to see what's their part and to practice their own self-accountability, which I think is really great. And sometimes you get to the end of that self-accountability and you find out, oh, okay, yeah, this was me. I was projecting a lot of stuff onto this person. I was projecting a lot of expectations that weren't there. And sometimes you come to find out that, no, this was, no matter what I did, it wasn't going to work out. And, you know, in short, what I'm getting at is some of us are not going to leave the situation that we're in for whatever reason, whether or not because it is our person or is that our person, but we're not sure yet. I hope that everything that I'm going to share here today is going to be for those of you, not only for people who have left a situation, but also those of you who are still in it, still fighting, still staying prayerful, still staying faithful, because who knows what may happen. In the meantime, you need to be healthy as you're going through this. Okay. So the first way for you to cope when you were dealing with someone where you realize they don't really care as much as you have cared in the relationship is to remember that your value is not determined by their actions or their inaction. I'm going to say that again. Your value is not determined by their action or their inaction. It is a very easy belief to have that if I was insert X quality, then this person would be more invested. If I was valuable enough, if I was pretty enough, if I was skinny enough, if I was thicker enough, if I was smart enough, if I had more money, if I was more accomplished, if I was less accomplished, if I was funnier, if I was more serious, if I was more well-traveled and cultured, if I didn't have kids, if I did have kids, you know, if I had this texture hair, if I was from this background, we can put a lot of qualifiers in. to make us think that someone else's action or lack of action is based on whether or not we deserve the love that we want. And I'm going to tell y'all every single time, because I need you to understand that you are deserving of the love that you want. You are deserving with your flaws, the flaws that immediately, this tip applies to you, the flaws that immediately came up in your head right now, the but what ifs, but what about this, all the but what abouts. Yes, yes, even in your imperfection, my dear, you are deserving of the love that you want. You know, whether or not there are places for you to grow or not, you have inherent worth and value. If we continue to base whether or not we like ourselves that day, or whether or not we feel worthy of love that day, or whether or not someone is bringing us flowers, or whether or not we're being taken out on dates, or whether or not someone has apologized, or whether or not we're having sex, whether or not the sex is good, you know, if my value is always contingent on someone else's, if someone else's mood swings and their opinion of the day and what's going on with them, I am never, you are never, we are never going to feel stable, ever. Even in our dream relationships, because our dream relationship person, soulmate, has their own bad days. They have their own life that they are going to be working on figuring out. They're going to have their busy times and busy seasons. They're going to have attitudes. They're going to have funky breath in the morning. They're not going to be in the mood. And so what do I do in those moments? Do I falter? Do I crumble? Or do I learn how to stand on the fact that I am deserving? For me, when it comes to the way my abandonment wounds and my rejection wounds and my attachment wounds and my love addiction has shown up, is sometimes I would know that logically. And so what would happen is when something has happened, I'm feeling triggered, my anxious attachment is getting triggered, and I feel like someone is mad at me or going to leave or whatever it may be, or, you know, I'm inventing ways that I'm being rejected, even if it's not real, but, you know, whatever emotional connection that I'm wanting is not happening, I will white knuckle it. I learned one of my high functioning trauma responses is to intellectualize what's going on and logically know, you know, you're deserving whatever, da 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 da. And so know and tell myself that, but I don't feel it. Because I don't feel it, I'll do everything I can to distract myself while we're in that conflict, while we're in that exchange, or while there's distance or whatever, until I can get to the place until we are good again, right? So whether or not it's doing work or shopping or eating or hanging out with other people, going for a run and exercising, I will do something with that energy to distract myself. And on one hand, those are actually good habits to do. I think almost all of them. I think all those could be framed in self-care, like even the shopping and stuff. You know, am I, because some of us live in deprivation and we will take care of other people instead of taking care of ourselves. So some of us, we actually do need to get on our shopping game. We do need to actually get on our self-care and pleasure game because we're lacking. But the difference between that and feeling your emotions is, do I feel peace in there? Do I feel, even if that person were not to text me or call me for a day or for another day, would I be able to sleep? Would I be able to catch my breath? Would I be able to look in the mirror and know that their behaviors and their actions are about them? And even if I did mess up, even if I did do something wrong, even if there is something for me to apologize for, can I hold the fact that I'm worthy? Can I hold the fact that I'm deserving of love? And because I know that, of course, the other person knows that too. So yeah, we're in conflict, but that's not going to change how they feel about me, because why wouldn't they love me? I'm worthy. I'm amazing. I'm deserving. Like, they're not going to go anywhere, because why would they? You know, and I'm attached to someone who is secure enough, who knows himself as well. So I really don't need to worry about that. I'm not going to personalize their own stuff and what they decide to do, because I know that as a worthy and deserving person who would give grace to another worthy and deserving person as well, that I have the right to show up imperfectly. And I have the right to offer grace and receive grace as well. So I'm going to rest assured and know that in my best relationships, we can figure everything out, and we can figure everything out because I'm coming as my best self. And I believe love works out for me. And I believe love works out for me because I believe I'm deserving of the love that I want. All those thoughts feed themselves. Feeling like knowing that I'm worthy, believing in the trust of love and connection and attachment. And they kind of, you know, they're the snake that eats his own tail, but it's one that's one of abundance and growth, and it helps you feel more secure. Versus what it would look like with the first example with distraction is, I love myself, but have this recurring narrative in my head about, but what if they're really mad? Or what if, you know, we get in a big fight? Or what if they get more and more upset? So I'm going to distract myself from this recurring negative, not negative, this recurring narrative that is negative in my head, because those thoughts feel very overwhelming to me. Because the thoughts are, you know, very demoralizing and limiting and harmful. So because my value is not determined by someone else's actions or inactions, I know that if I'm with someone who is not treating me the romantic way that I want to, that does not mean that I'm not deserving of it. Because I may be with someone who may not have the time to be available for me, that does not mean that I'm not deserving of time. Because I'm with someone who is being very stubborn and not apologizing, that doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of being treated with kindness and with people respecting my boundaries and my heart and wanting the best for me. Those are just truths. Just like the sky is blue, I know that those things are true for me as well, which is going to kind of lead into the second one. Actually, it leads more to the third one. But let me go ahead and say the second one because it's next on our list, which is understanding that the love that you want is not only available through that person. They are not the only person who can treat you with kindness. They are not the only person who can treat you with joy and enjoy your presence. They are not the only person who will listen and validate you. So this is not me inserting you to go and find someone else to replace this person. This is not me, for those of you who this person might be a romantic partner, me telling you to break up with them and go find someone else. This is not me telling you to go into no contact. This is understanding that if I want motherly affirming love, motherly and affirming love does not only come through Sandra Jane. You know, I'm inventing a mother's thing, you know, Sandra is not the only one who can give me motherly love in this world. Sandra is not the only one who, the thing I've wanted from my mom for so long is to look at me with compassion and to look at me with tenderness and to see that I'm actually a good person and to see that I'm actually important. That's what the only thing I've wanted from Sandra Jane, my whole life. And she's not giving it to me. There are other people in your life currently who either have been trying to or currently are or want to give you that type of love. And are currently giving you that type of love, but because you're so fixated on Sandra Jane, and unless it comes in this package, and unless it comes in her voice, and unless it comes in these certain moments, you feel very abandoned in that way and very exposed, right? This romantic love. I want this romantic love to come from my partner. Romantic love looks like someone who is caring about me, checking in on me, wondering if I've had anything to eat, you know, helping me out around the house, whatever it may be. Actually listening to me when I'm talking about my day and having follow-up questions. There are other people in your life who are checking on you. They're in your phone right now asking you how you are. You're not responding, or you're giving them half responses because you don't really want to get into it. There are people who are offering to help you and you're saying, no, I got it. There are people who want to hang out with you, but you've told them no so many times that it's not that they don't want to hang out with you anymore. They just anticipate that you're going to say no. Right? But they love spending time with you. When y'all are together, you have a grand time. This romantic, adventurous, joyful, fulfilling love that has even a romantic quality to it. You know, this sensual, I was trying to say sensational, and then I said sensual. It has a sensational, sensual energy, right? You can have that connection with other people, even when you're partnered with this person. But when we put everything in one basket, when we put all of our eggs in one basket, it leaves us feeling very trapped. And it leaves us feeling very helpless and powerless and depleted and deprived. And for good reason, because what we're wanting are real needs. And if we have one person that we feel like is the gateway to all these things, and they're refusing to, don't know how to, or don't want to give it to us, of course, we're going to feel resentful. Of course, we're going to feel sad. Of course, we're going to feel dejected because there is this real emotional need that I've been trying to live without. I've been trying to distract myself. I've been trying to tell myself it's okay. I've been trying to threaten them to give it to me. I've been trying to do everything I can to either live without or try to get it. And this fountain is broken. It won't turn on. And so what I'm trying to tell you is you are in a giant, you know, spa with fountains everywhere. You know, we got to learn and look at and turn on all the other fountains and step our feet in the water and see that there is an abundance and there's a river flowing. And so don't allow one person, the topic of this podcast is ways to cope when they don't care. Don't allow one person's actions or inactions be your only source of love. And then again, this is even in relationships that are very healthy. I hope that for those of you who are listening to this in times of stress, that you even carry this lesson in times of abundance too. Because like I said before, even when you meet your people, even with the people who are your favorite, you know, say you do have a really great motherly figure or fatherly figure. Say you really do have a really great partnership. Maybe your mom or your dad may have a bad day. Maybe there will be a time in your life when they are sick, when they're no longer with you, when they just don't have it to give. You know, like y'all are both on 10% and that's the best you got, right? And that's the best you got for a while. So when you've been blessed enough to have these best relationships, you're still doing yourself and themselves a disservice to make them your only source of goodness and access to these things because they are not your guide, right? You are the one who is in control of finding and placing yourself in places that pour into you. You're your best advocate. And hopefully you're going to pick the right people, places, and situations for people who are going to protect you and who are going to want to nurture that and grow that in you and nourish you so that they add to your life and they don't detract. Like you're not always having to play defense, you know, like you pour into yourself and here they come saying something negative, or here they come doing, you know, worst case scenario, or here they come needing money, or here they come, you know, you have to take care of them. You want to have people in your life that actually add to your life and make your life better. But even then, you want to make sure that you have a very good, full sustainment of yourself so that everything else is extra versus they are, you know, your main, I can't think of another way to say your main source right now. Okay.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
So we already know that we're living in a world where there are so many things that can interrupt our health and hormones. With there being thousands of hormone disruptors in our environment, with everything from the food we eat to the clothes we wear, it is even more important that we keep our bodies regulated internally. When we can help our natural hormone processes, like the symptoms of our monthly cycles, perimenopause, and menopause, find relief and ease with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony's formula is made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Using science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressor and hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Some symptoms may include PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, and loss of interest in intimacy. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. Happy Mammoths, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier and make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today. Ever feel like you are too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. Everything is pre-measured, pre-portioned, and easy to prepare. Plus, Sunbasket meals are dietitian approved, so you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table. Sunbasket makes it so easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto friendly, gluten free, diabetes friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. And you've already heard me share my personal love for the hearty portions that made sure I left each Sunbasket meal feeling full and satisfied. There is something for every health journey, and it's so easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. So go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. So there are a few things I'm really looking forward to as the weather turns cooler. Long movie nights, cuddling inside, cozy breakfast with the changing weather outside of my window, and also slipping into that warmer sweater weather with a cozy sweater from Quince. Quince is known for their Mongolian cashmere sweaters from as low as $50. And it's not just that. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That includes beautiful leather jackets, cotton cardigans, soft denim, and so much more. And so how are they able to do that? By partnering directly with top factories and cutting out the cost of the middleman, they can pass the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, and use responsible manufacturing practices. And of course, premium fabrics and finishes for that luxury feel in every piece. I've already shared how much I love their purses and accessories that I personally own, and their warm sweaters are just a ticket. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/BGH for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/BGH to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/BGH.
Way number three, coat. When you are dealing with someone that you just find out that they actually don't care, is knowing that you can pour the love that you want back into yourself. With point number two, I was talking about having these types of intimate connections and relationships with people who are not just the main person of focus. You know, whether or not you figured out that your mom that you have been going into no contact with doesn't really care. Whether or not, you know, this friend group that you've really invested in and you've pulled back, they don't really care. This is romantic relationship that you're in, that they don't really care, right? And so finding that type of love and connection with other people, places, and situations. Number three is more about determining what is it that I want to see, be said to me, and experience, and learning how to give that to myself. Coming back to that inner child work that I've talked about here on the podcast, learning how to soothe and nurture ourselves. Can I be, when I talk about my main source, can I be my main source? And then all the good friends and families and lovers and partners and everybody after that with extra on top of the type of love that I give myself. Do I know how to look into the mirror and soothe myself and comfort myself? Do I know how to hold myself when I'm upset? And yes, I said that exactly as I meant it. Can you use your hands if you have functioning hands and arms? Can you use them to hold yourself and actually feel what that feels like to be held? Can you rub on your own body when you need to be rubbed and touched? And not just in a self-pleasure kind of way, but can you actually feel yourself, right? Can you, I want to say make love to yourself, but I'm trying to think of the way that I want to say this emotionally. You know, that when you're having a conversation with someone, if you've been able to have this type of experience, where you're talking to a lover and they are just telling you how amazing that they think you are, how beautiful you are, how much pleasure they have with you being alive, how you've made their life better, how important you are to them, right? And if you've not had that experience, imagining that, right? Imagining what those things that you wanted someone to say to you, the type of experience you wanted to have in that type of relationship, right? Whether or not it's a movie script or something you created in your own head. Can you say those types of things to yourself and feel that in your body? You know, I want to say last podcast episode, I did something like that. I can't remember the example I was using, but, you know, for those of you who watched the video version of this, I looked into the camera and I felt the words that I was saying to myself, and it felt good, right? And so can you, when you're dealing with people who are treating you as if you are an option, a backup plan, as if you are unimportant, can you in those moments or in those situations go and turn to yourself? This is where some of the advice that we hear in other places really comes in handy too, especially in the realm of a romantic relationship. If you have a partner who doesn't take you out on dates, do you take yourself out on dates? Do you step out and take trips on your own? They never want to go on a trip. Okay. Can you book a trip on your own? They never want to go to these special places with you. Okay. Can you go on your own? You do not have to wait for other people to live your life. You do not have to wait on other people to celebrate you. They don't want to do anything for your birthday. Can you go and buy yourself a birthday cake? Can you go and tell the waiters that is your birthday and have them sing to you? And I know for some of us, especially if you've been feeling so ignored and discarded, and maybe even overwhelmed with the fact that you have to do everything yourself, this is just, if anything, this suggestion sounds more sad to you. It sounds more reinforcing of how much you don't matter, that there's one more thing that you have to do for yourself. The energy that I'm suggesting this with, though, is not you're doing it to show it to them, to show what you're doing, show that you don't need them. You're doing this because you understand that you as a person, at the age that you are, with the body that you have, with the value that you have, you deserve to be seen. And you are going to be the first person to see yourself. If no one else sees me, I'm going to see me. If no one else has time to focus on me, I am going to reclaim my life by starting to have time for myself. I'm going to reclaim my life by looking at all the ways that I want to be celebrated, and I'm going to celebrate me. I'm going to buy myself a bouquet of balloons. I'm going to buy myself flowers every week for a month. I am going to go to a spa, and I'm going to sit with a towel on my head, you know, and just relax there instead of rushing myself through to the next meeting, right? If you're someone who needs to learn how to slow down and enjoy your time, right? Can I start to do that for myself instead of being like, man, I wish other people would see how stressed I am and do something for me. I wish other people would see how much I give to them and do something for me. Are you doing things for yourself? You know, and that's, again, that's not me saying this in like an accusatory way. This is more like, I don't want you to wait for your blessings. I want you to understand that your blessings that you give to yourself are just as important, if not more important, for anything that comes afterwards, because it sets the stage. And what I have learned through my time of working with women, especially women who are in destructive relationships and unhealthy relationships, we can spend a whole lot of time talking about the ins and outs of what's going on and the codependency and what they should do and putting out the fires, right? But at the source of every single woman who is in a relationship, whether or not it's family, romantic, friendship, or otherwise, the reason she's in it is because she doesn't know who she is. Or she knows who she is, but she doesn't see her value and worth. She has had too many people dishonor her, again, discard her, devalue her, come in and out with their time and attention and breadcrumb her, right? She hasn't had a sustainable, consistent flow of love. And so the way that we work through that, the remedy, right, the kryptonite for that is not relationship tips. It's not even learning about love addiction, love avoidance, if I'm going to be honest. It is getting to the core roots of when and where and how she feels not enough. Now, once we get to the core root, helping her learn how to pour into herself and prioritize herself. And once you start to do that, your self-esteem goes up. Your self-esteem goes up because now, instead of you focusing on what other people want and what they think and, you know, how are they going to feel if I do this, and, you know, kind of measuring like, okay, well, I can do this just enough here, but I can't tell them no fully. You know, I have to show up. They ask me out. They ask me to do this thing. I have to say yes to be nice. Then I'll pull back, you know, or then I'll tell them no, or then I'll tell them how I feel, but I have to wait for the right time and place to say whatever, right? Or it's never the right time and place. It's never going to be the right time and place because you are treating yourself like an option. And so once you get really aggressive about loving yourself, and sometimes the way that you have to love yourself is through this prioritization of time and moments for yourself, even when you don't want to do it, even when you're like, why is it that I have to do this? Why is it that I have to take care of myself? Once you start to build a habit and notice what it feels like to have this type of experience and attention and time, and also if your energy is not about other people, like I have to do this because you're not doing it, versus I'm doing this because I want to feel special and I want to be valued. Like, this is a very me thing. This is not about you anymore. I've lived 5, 10, 20 years for you. I've lived 5 months of our relationship. I've lived, you know, 5 decades of our relationship, of me trying to get you to see something in me, to try to see the value in this relationship. I can't do it anymore. Or at least I'm taking a break. For the next 30 days, for the next 90 days, for the next week, I'm going to focus just on me. And then if I need to focus on you afterwards, then I will. But this next 7 days is just for me. And the more you start to do that and reclaim yourself, that's when you start to get your power back. I said in a previous episode that the way that I live, and I can tell you which episode it was. Sorry. But maybe when I describe the story, y'all might be able to figure out which title it is. But I said before, I was in a long-term relationship with someone that I completely lost myself. I gained a whole lot of weight. I got very stressed, and all because this person never called me on my name, never did anything physically hurtful or anything to me, but just the emotional neglect and humiliation and things that would happen by this person who just really didn't value me caused me to really lose myself. And I really lost a lot of things that I really took joy in. And I told the story about how for me, I think it was the episode about working through love deprivation. For me, the habit of getting my nails done was how I slowly started to claw my way out of that. I started getting my nails done at a time that I was like, I don't have time for this. What about putting this in my budget every week or every other week or every month or whatever schedule I was doing it at first? Like, that felt like enormous. Like, you know, I don't really need to have this all the time. Then also some imposter syndrome. Like, did I feel like I matched a person who got their nails done all the time? Just a whole lot of negative beliefs came up, and that nails were that for me. That might not be the thing for you. There might be another place in your life that you are not taking care of yourself, investing in yourself, prioritizing yourself. And so when you think about doing that, making time for a set hobby, making time to be social, making time to, you know, work on something with your appearance or your hair or something, working on showing up in some way, I don't know. You, whatever that thing is, you may be like, I don't really have the time for it. Or what if I do this and it's not really that special? It doesn't work out. Or what if I do it and I feel the same? And, you know, now I've invested this time and this money and this energy and potential rejection for no reason. You'll have all those thoughts. Press through those thoughts. And as you start to do that, the woman who's on the other side of that, the woman who's been wanting you to do that for her for a long time, which is why the thought has never gone away. Thought about whatever the hobby is, whatever the experience is, whatever the self-care ritual is, whatever the schedule of your life that you want. You keep coming back to those things. You keep saying, well, I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have access. I got kids. I got whatever else. You can say that, then you try to do an alternative to it, or you try to, you know, push it out of your head and distract yourself and do something else, but it keeps coming. Once you start doing that thing, once you start showing up in the way that you want to show up, once you start talking in the way that you want to show up, once you start stepping into the rooms that you keep waiting for the right time, the right moment, the right access to do that, once you actually start doing that, the other woman who's on the other side of that shows up. The woman who's always been there, has just been waiting on you. And that woman is so much more confident. She knows herself more. She believes in herself more. And she knows what she deserves a lot more. And so by me just starting to get my nails done, my self-esteem started to increase. Other little qualities of my life started to change too. And I started to realize, you know, something that I always knew. I always knew that the way that I was being treated in that relationship was not the best, but I just kind of felt like, you know, I made this commitment. I'm here now. I got to kind of see it out. You know, I'm watching a series right now on a person who got into a marriage with someone who was physically and emotionally abusive to her. And she had some religious teaching behind her that made her feel like she had to stay because it's a promise that she made to God. So there was some of that stuff that was going on for me as well. But also realizing that this is not what my life is going to be for the future. By you starting to pour into yourself and knowing who you are and what you want, you've stopped tolerating a lot of BS. And all the ways that you're trying to not tolerate things right now and in your willpower and your strength, tell people what they're going to do and what they're not going to do is not connected because you're not embodied to it yet. You logically know that this is how it should be. You even really want it to be that way, but your body does not believe it. It doesn't believe that you're fully worth it. And so then that's okay. Sometimes we can come in different directions. Sometimes it is going out and saying the actions and doing the things, and then your emotions catch up. And sometimes you start with your emotions first and then the actions catch up first. It doesn't matter. There is no right or wrong way. So I'm just sharing this for those of us who have been trying to tell people what we want and make a plan about what we're going to take and what we're not going to take, but it's not working. That's okay. Because if you start focusing on you, and see the treasure that you are, everything else in your life starts to change. There is no mistake. There is no lost time. There is no, oh man, I should know better. Why can't I love myself better? Why can't I believe in myself more? You're doing the best that you know how, right? And so let's start with some self-compassion. Let's start with some self-focusing instead of focusing on other people. and what they feel and what they want and making them our source for love and for comfort and for access and everything, we can have hurt feelings about it. We can be upset by it. We can, you know, even have tough conversations with them about it, but it's not going to be my only source and access to love and connection and kindness and care. Okay. So yeah, that's what I'll say for this episode, because I promise I was going to keep it for those of us who were going to stay in this partnership and stay in this relationship with folks. These are some things to help you get through. Okay. And then if you are wanting to exit, if you are wanting to take a break from the partnerships that you're in, then of course, you know, there are a lot of episodes here that talk about that. For those of you who feel like you are, this is the extreme situation, not just for those of you who may want to kind of pull back your expectations. But remember, for those of you who are in extreme situations with people that you, it is a very toxic and dysfunctional thing. And, you know that they don't care. And the effect of them not caring in front of you is causing a lot of emotional, physical, mental, maybe sexual consequences that you can't pull away from, even though it's hurting you. You keep coming back to them and you can't reset it. I really encourage y'all to do a 90-day no contact process. Because for me, when I teach no contact, I don't teach it as an indefinite thing. I teach no contact as a healing tool, because there's some type of connection I'm in, some type of trauma bonded relationship I'm in that I need to get clarity on. So whether or not I'm getting clarity on my part versus their part, and so because I want to reconcile with them, I want to come back together with them, but I've lost so much of my own personal self-ownership. I've lost what I feel. So when I'm with them, I'm just more confused and it's harder for us to build on top of each other. You could do the no contact period for that. Or the no contact is because this is so bad and I can't imagine being gone from them forever, but I could do 90 days to figure this out, right? I really encourage everyone to do a 90-day no contact period as a healing tool for yourself so you can decide which direction you want to go with this person. You can get my no contact kit. It's a 90-day experience. Every month you get the next steps to do for each 30 days to support you through that process. So that you would did, because some of us have done no contact and we go right back to the person afterwards and things are not the same. You're still the same person. This experience should be different for you so that either you leave and you don't return, or when you leave, your eyes are open and you don't fall for the okey-doke again. So you can learn more about getting that kit by going to blackgirlsheal.org/no contact and get that full experience for 90 days of that support. Okay. And it has a set of cheat sheets. Of a plan of action, of things for you to remember, of all the roadblocks that are going to get in the way, and also how to build a life that's actually based on your pleasure and not you just white knuckling it until you are back in contact with them again, okay? Or distracting yourself and getting in another relationship that's just like them in the meantime. And then when you break up with them, you end up going right back to that person. You know, sometimes y'all are like, Sheena, how did you know you're reading me? Because I've done the same thing, girl. I've done the same thing. So that's how I know. So again, blackgirlsheal.org/no contact is how you get that kit. That's it for now. I'm sending you all so much love. You got this. I believe in you. You're worthy of the love that you want. Know that just focusing yourself is the right way to go. See you in the next one. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.